This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Associate producer Carol Tangeman reports from Monterey County at U.S. Army Reserve Training Installation Fort Hunter Liggett for a conversation with Base Commander Charles Bell.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I know this is a busy time for you.
Hey, thank you, Carol. We appreciate the opportunity, and it's always good to let everybody know what we're doing out here at Fort Hunter Liggett and that our number one priority is to take care of our Fort Hunter Liggett community.
I want to first paint a picture for those of us who have not been to Fort Hunter Liggett or, you know, who maybe haven't been there in a long time.
We're the eighth largest installation at 165,000 acres. We're comprised of two installations. So the United States Army Garrison Fort Hunter Liggett is comprised of Fort Hunter Liggett, the installation, and then the Parks Reserve Forces Training Area in Dublin, California, which is in the San Francisco area. And so both of those installations make up United States Army Garrison Fort Hunter Liggett.
I want to talk about how the COVID-19 virus has impacted the function of Fort Hunter Liggett on a daily basis.
So as we talk about COVID-19, we have to go back and look at what we consider our health protection condition. Our health protection condition here at Fort Hunter Liggett is Charlie, and what that means is that we have mission essential personnel only. And so as you walk through the garrison or run through the garrison, as I do predominantly every morning, you'll see that there's a lot less people. And that's because roughly 25% of our personnel are considered mission essential. The other 75% are teleworking or on some type of administrative or leave status. So there's a lot less people than you usually see operating in and around Fort Hunter Liggett.
You mentioned the health protection condition. Can you just explain to us what Charlie means? I assume it's the third level up of something.
Yes, ma'am. So Alpha is the first level, Bravo's a more heightened level, and then Charlie, we start moving into an environment in which it's probable that the virus may be present and be able to be spread. So because of that, our precautionary measures go up. So if you were to come through the front gate under Alpha or Bravo, it's, I wouldn't say business as usual, but the screening procedures aren't as evasive as they are now. So if you come through at Charlie, we're getting a temperature reading on you. We're asking you a series of questions. If you are at risk at all, you're not admitted access to the garrison. And so we really, really, really try to make sure that we're protecting our workforce. The second thing is that we always enforce social distancing in any of our meetings. If you were here in the room with us today, you would see that we're not sitting on top of each other. We're, you know, 6 feet apart. And any meeting that we hold within the garrison, everybody adheres to social distancing guidelines. So when I go into our operations center in the morning at 09 for our daily update, everybody is scattered about, which is provides a different feel. For sure. And then we also open a teleconference line. We, of course, have some of our folks that are out teleworking. And then we have others within the headquarters here that just dial in. That way we don't have everybody in the same room all at the same time. Here in the headquarters, we try to make it a point because there's myself, my deputy commander, Lieutenant Colonel Jason McKenzie, and then the deputy to the garrison commander, Mr. Dave Myers, Command Sergeant Major Flukiger as well. So we make up the command team of the garrison. So we don't ever want to be centrally located in the same area. Those are some of the precautionary measures we've taken across the garrison as we talk about protecting our workforce and how we can ensure that we're carrying out the daily business of the garrison in the most distributed manner possible. We can safeguard everybody from the virus.
I hear a lot about the training exercises. 12,000 people at a time will be there. What have you done with the training exercises?
So as a platform, what we do here is we provide base operations for those exercises. So the senior leaders in our Army have made a decision based on the current health protection condition status to postpone major collective training exercises. So typically around the May timeframe, we will have our big Army Reserve exercise, which is CSTX or Combat Support Training Exercise is the official name for it. If you know anything about the military, we like to give everything an acronym. So it's abbreviated CSTX. So that exercise that typically takes place in May will now take place in July. And then in conjunction with that, we already had templated a exportable combat training capability exercise in support of our National Guard partners. And that was originally scheduled for August. At this point, there's been no shift of that exercise, so that'll still take place. There were some other exercises that support our other DoD partners, such as Naval Construction Elements in Port Hueneme. They come up and they train at our installation on a pretty regular basis, and they've had to postpone their training. And so at some point, we think the conditions will subside and we'll be on the tail end of this thing. And we expect that our training load will be quite large with a lot of units trying to make up for missed opportunities.
It sounds like you're doing what just about every business, gosh, possibly, you know, at least in the United States, maybe the world, what we're all doing right now, taking a wait-and-see attitude, canceling what needs to be canceled, postponing.
That's exactly what we're doing. Our first and foremost responsibility is the protection of our workforce and protection of our military and bringing large elements of those formations into Fort Hunter Liggett now would not be good based on our current COVID environment. I will tell you that there is training that still occurs at Fort Hunter Liggett. We have quite a bit of aerial training, which if you were here today, you would see fighter aircraft flying in our airspace. They do maneuvers over Fort Hunter Liggett because we have restricted airspace. We own the airspace. We also have a gunnery, aircraft gunnery from AC-130 from Moffett Field that flies down, and they're doing targeting practice over the course of the next couple of days. Of course, they fly in, execute their training, and then fly back home, so they're not coming in to the garrison.
Some things can go on as usual.
Yes, ma'am. And then in addition to that, we have what I'll call mission essential training. That is training that supports mobilization and contingency. So if a unit is scheduled for a deployment and they have training that was templated to be executed and it will deter or delay their deployment, they're still authorized to do that training. And so we will support that training. And also, you know, there's another caveat. We have Title 32 units. When I say Title 32, those are National Guard units. And so they operate somewhat different rule set, but they follow the same DOD and Army guidance. But there's a little more latitude to conduct collective training. As you see in the news, the National Guard is deploying all over the state of California. Occasionally, they have to come together to really flush out some things and get some training done. Again, it's in support of a mobilization, maybe not a contingency mobilization to go overseas. We'll support those type of events and activities.
We are hearing about the National Guard being dispatched to respond to, you know, civil issues. And what is the Army Reserve doing?
Yeah, so the Army Reserve's response to COVID-19 is to provide a formation called an Urban Augmentation Medical Task Force. So in support of the Urban Augmentation Medical Task Force, predominantly made up of practitioners that go into metropolitan areas and support non-COVID-related cases. So those medical providers in the local area will be available to support COVID. So we have two rotations of the task force that are deploying to Parks Reserve Force training area, and they're going to prepare for their deployment.
Fort Hunter Liggett has emergency responders. Do they sometimes help support in with local situations?
That's another good point. We do have emergency responders. We do have mutual aid agreements. And quite often, Fort Hunter Liggett is used as a staging area for CAL FIRE and the National Forest, who are two of our larger mutual aid partners. But then we also have local community partners as well. And so if there is a need for immediate response, we will provide that if they can't provide it and they request us to under our mutual aid agreement. If they need something in response to COVID, they'll have to go through the county, the state, and FEMA, and then from there they'll figure out what that response will look like and where it'll come from.
I saw a video, and it was your emergency response center being shown. Long rows of tables, lots of people huddled together, figuring things out, looking at big screens. Everyone had a job to do. Pretty close quarters. What does that room look like now? I imagine it looks different.
Yeah, it does. So as you saw in the video, That operation center is where we do our morning updates, and it looks much different now. There's probably, you know, three people on each row of those tables as you look down the big line of tables.
Yeah.
But you did bring up a good point about our full-scale exercise. That's been a something that we focused on, doing some type of tabletop full-scale exercise. We do a full-scale exercise, a full-blown full-scale exercise once a year. But every quarter we do some type of refresh on that, with a tabletop or a staff training exercise that really reinforces emergency response.
What does a tabletop exercise look like? Is it what I'm visualizing? What our listeners, what we're all thinking when we think tabletop?
Yeah, it is, except that we've replaced the tables of the 1950s with PowerPoint slides. So, term tabletop was coined back before we had PowerPoint, and we would lay out the existing common operating picture on a table, and people would take turns based on their response to a situation or a condition. Now we put all that on PowerPoint. So that's essentially what a tabletop is. It's just an exercise to walk through current conditions and understand, you know, where the friction points are, what we need to get synchronized on, and really just make sure we're all working together as a team. Part of what has resulted with COVID is we've gone back and collectively put together a response plan that really, really is supporting our installations. If we were to have an incident of COVID on the installation, our teams would know exactly what to do. And when I say teams, that's because we have predominantly three teams. We have the operations center, and then we have what's called Team Trace, that would identify the COVID suspect and identify, you know, where they've been and who they've had contact with. Then we have a team called Team Trace, and that's essentially what they do. Then we have a team called Team Clean that we've named Team Clean that will come behind and sterilize wherever they were. So if they were riding in a vehicle, you know, let's say a GSA van or a passenger van, Team Clean will come behind and make sure that they sanitize the van. And then we have Team Support, which is made up of our chaplain contingent here on the garrison, which while they're quarantined, waiting test results, the chaplains will make sure that they're taken care of. They receive the support that they need. If they need groceries or whatever that support is, the chaplain will coordinate that, or the chaplain's office will coordinate that support for the individual or the family. That entire process we worked through in the operations center as our response to COVID, and we've had to exercise it several times. I will tell you that we've had 9 people with symptoms, but they've all been tested and they're negative because they've had probably flu-like symptoms or the common cold or, but COVID's hard to detect. I mean, you know, you just can't look at somebody and say, hey, well, you know, it's the flu or it's a common cold. So we have to take every one of those cases seriously in order to protect our community.
Yes.
And then we continuously are reinforcing the CDC guidelines, and that we want everybody to make sure that they're washing their hands and really monitoring their social distancing and staying safe.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Carol Tangeman. Let's continue with our conversation with Colonel Charles R. Bell, commander at Fort Hunter Liggett. Colonel Bell, I want to talk for a minute about the base. And it is a community. People live there. There are families. People work there. You've got a recreation center, a bowling alley, pizza. How are the people who are living on the base, the families, how are they holding up?
Thanks for the question. Just recently, I talked to our chaplains, and I've charged our chaplains to get out and visit our family housing communities. And the one thing that they're telling me is that our folks are incredibly resilient. They are well-informed. They follow us on social media. We did a Facebook Live town hall, and then we did a couple of teleconference town halls to really keep them updated. And we have to do that because I think you talked about some of the services that we have on the installation, such as the bowling alley and the recreation center and the gymnasium, and we've had to close those. And so the only services that remain open now are our post exchange, our commissary, and the bowling alley and the subway on the installation support takeout only. And we've had to do that just to again, safeguard our community. And then within the PX and the commissary, as well as the bowling alley and subway, we've enforced more stringent sanitation requirements. So we've asked the managers of those facilities, you know, every hour on the hour, before opening, before closing, really sanitized the community spaces. I think that's really paid dividends for us, but it has somewhat restricted life here on 400 Liggett.
I know you have a new high-tech training school. Are you using that in a different way right now?
Yeah, so the high-tech training school that you're referring to is the Army school system. The Army school system, it's ran by the 80th Training Command, who is our training partner here at Fort Hunter Liggett. And currently, because of what we're doing as a nation, and there are the travel restrictions in place by the Department of Defense, currently we graduated our last class last week. They were authorized to travel home, but no new classes are arriving. So, like we had talked about earlier, we're following suit with the rest of the nation and making sure we're doing our part. We definitely wouldn't want to bring a group of folks from across the United States, and so we're just doing our small part of that.
I saw a reference to a phrase, stay connected, stay engaged, stay calm, and stay safe. I have one last question. Many of us, myself included, are having a hard time while we shelter in place, just keeping a schedule, keeping going with the work that we need to do. Do you have any advice that you could offer?
Well, first and foremost, our heartfelt condolences for anybody that's lost a loved one to COVID-19. And, you know, I urge everybody to continue to stay vigilant and follow the CDC guidelines. What we've done, in addition to downsizing our workforce and going to mission essential personnel only, is really to our telework community. Those are folks that are working from home and their day is a little monotonous. I even go back to my son that's a high schooler and he's taking classes online and he's at home nonstop. You know, part of having that resiliency means you have to get out, you have to do some exercise and get your heart rate up, and you can stay active, just stay active in a manner in which keeps you separated from everybody else. So I think that's one thing that I try to encourage as the commander of Fort Hunter Liggett. We've instituted within our morning meetings, we have a exercise of the day to our teleworking community and our families out there. We need to make sure that we're doing other things. We're keeping our mind in other places, and part of that is through daily movement and exercise and getting out and about.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Colonel Bell, commander at Fort Hunter Liggett, joining us here at KCBX for Issues and Ideas. Thank you so much, and our best to you all at Fort Hunter Liggett.
Hey, thank you, Carol. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.